Welcome to the White Rabbit Podcast, where we talk about WebXR, that's VR and AR on the web. My name is Jonathan, one of the founders of White Rabbit.
Hi, my name is Florian. I'm the other founder of White Rabbit and a WebXR game developer.
And my name is Darius, intern and WebXR developer at White Rabbit.
Where do you think WebXR is heading? Like, obviously, there's a lot of things that need to be solved, but in 5 years, what do you think? How is WebXR going to look like?
Well, first of all, I don't think I'm the person to. I feel like I should turn this question around to you, because you guys have been working on WebXR much longer than I have. I have some ideas, but I'm actually more curious to know what you guys think in terms of where WebXR is heading, and maybe I'll disagree or agree, and we can go from there. What do you guys think?
So interestingly enough, I haven't been thinking about that too much lately. Like, Construct Arcade generally is like a 5 to 10 year project. We're really in this on the long term, because we realize that it is going to take time, and you are more likely to be disappointed that it's not going fast enough than be disappointed that it's going too fast. So I'm happy to be surprised when it does take the occasional jump. But so 5 to 10 years WebXR, it's definitely going to be way more mainstream. I think people will have gotten used to the idea of VR on the web, especially with the API being stabilized and being more up to date to what recent devices provide, hand tracking and so on. I think, and with the recent technological updates the web is getting through WebAssembly, WebGPU, all of these cool new things will get parity in performance or scope on the web. So it'll be able, you'll be able to have any application you can imagine on native on web as well. So maybe even everything's going to just move to the web, because the web is going to be a more ubiquitous platform that just runs cross-platform anywhere and everywhere. Which also means that VR and AR devices and headsets will eventually have to support web in a more tighter integration into the operating system, similar to how web apps work on the computer right now. If you have, I don't know, Slack, Spotify, all of these applications, you usually have them based on web applications or web technologies, but they run on your computer as native apps, so to speak, or at least look like it. With PWAs, progressive web apps, you now have the option to install websites on your phone. And I think the entire industry is moving towards that. And as soon as you don't have a performance advantage from building on native, because the web is in parity with native in terms of performance, then why would you ever sacrifice the ability to release on other platforms in addition to the platform you are targeting, right? Which means, like, if you target native, you usually have to port your application from Android to iOS to native, desktop, whatever. So WebXR is like a denominator where you can just say, okay, I'm writing my app once and it supports everything out there, not just every VR device, but it also may be able, with not too much effort, run on augmented reality versus virtual reality and just support all of the devices. And since I have this feeling that we're going to move away from phones to augmented reality all the time, eventually, it's just so much more convenient that maybe in 10 to 20 years or so, everybody's just going to be wearing their augmented reality headsets instead of like looking at their phone all the time, which means you could have like a widget that is just a website and like use like parts of your peripheral to run one website, some other part in some other, or shut down completely, do some WebXR experience, just totally immerse yourself into the metaverse and do something like going towards the Oasis style of how things are. Have like a metaverse or multiple metaverses where you just have like a totally parallel world. I think Leap Motion called them mirror worlds. So that went all over the place, but I...
Yeah, I mean, you talked about so many things there. I think I definitely agree. I love your point about how you have Slack, and I believe Discord and Spotify, they all started out as web apps or kind of web native. And with Electron, they were able to bring their web experiences to the desktop and laptops. And porting stuff was probably a lot easier because at the central, you know, at the crux of their apps, they needed networking. They needed, you know, they're all dependent on the internet in some way. So it made sense to start off on the web. It reminds me a little bit about sort of like the React Native frameworks and how you could you could write JavaScript and it could deploy, it could run on iOS and Android. And yes, I agree that it does open up a lot of avenues in terms of distribution of your app. I think one of the reasons why someone might want to write a native Unity application for the Oculus Quest or some VR headsets in general I think web performance is getting there, but it's not quite there yet. I've learned that, you know, if you're writing, I've learned from a couple of friends who have written like React Native, that a lot of them just depend a lot on, like, if they're building an iOS app in React Native, they depend a lot on the native APIs and the SDKs that are provided, and it can be a pain kind of getting the two to play together. So it's like, if I'm going to depend on these SDKs and APIs so much, why not just write the native code? Why not just write Swift or Kotlin or Java to deploy to iOS and Android? And kind of, anyways. But I think another point of why people might want to do like native Unity and Unreal Engine is because yes, you get performance, and you might just make more money that way. Like if at the end of the day, if your game is, I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of things that come into consideration. But if performance is really important, and if not having enough of it will deter your audience from downloading or using your app, then you're going to go with a decision that solves that problem the most effectively. So some points around that. Also, I think you touched on the ability to write for WebXR and be able to deploy on AR glasses and VR headsets all at once. I think that is a great idea. Especially with AR glasses, you know, I agree with you. I definitely agree. I think that AR glasses will come at some point. There are multiple companies working on this problem. One device that I think that is fairly close to AR glasses, but not quite there, is AirPods.
Oh, interesting. That took a total a twist that I did not expect. I'm very interested in this.
The reason why is because these are devices that people are comfortable with wearing out in public. At first, I think people were like, what is that? Like, why do you have like that thing dangling from your ear? Like, why are you talking? Why are you talking to that thing? Are you talking to me? Are you on a phone call? Like, I don't see any wires coming from your ears, but you're talking. Are you crazy? You know, I think there was a lot of, you know, social pushback around AirPods, but look where they are now. I think they're selling very well. You see many people who have AirPods who aren't even listening to music. They just have it in their ear because they, at some point in the future, yeah, it's stylist, or like at some point in the day, they might listen to music or get on a call. So yeah,
it's weird when people working in a shop, like selling you something, have them on and then they talk to you and I'm like, aren't you listening to something? It's just weirds me out in a way that I wasn't expecting it to, but It's definitely making a breakthrough. It's crazy.
Totally. And
like exactly like you said, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that there is actually intelligence behind the headphones, right? So you can ask it questions. It's connected to your phone for the data, and you can Google things.
You mean like Siri or
something?
Yeah,
with Siri. So you can schedule appointments, you can I don't know, there's like through voice there are ways of controlling. You can accomplish things that are productive with the headset. And I think if AR glasses can just follow behind the wave that AirPods have kind of set out in front of it while making the form factor appropriate for casual everyday use, I think it'll do very well. And maybe it's, yeah, like it helps. The AirPods also help augment your surroundings, right? So in a way, I think the feature that came out for the AirPods that really kind of solidified that is pass-through. Oh, so the ability for sound from outside, even if you're wearing like noise-canceling AirPods, for them to pass through.
Interesting.
You can reduce the sound. You can increase the sound that you hear, enhance it in some way. Augmentation of sight should be a natural step from that.
I see. So it's like augmented audio, augmented hearing instead of augmented vision.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. I think we touched on so many things during our conversation, and it was really amazing to have you here on the show. As a last note, where do people find you? Where do you want people to go?
Yeah.
On social media.
So we're on Twitter at WonderLeapHQ. My email is elijah@wonderleap.co, and our website is wonderleap.co. Yeah. And feel free to reach out. Would love to talk to anybody who's listening to this podcast to tell you more about what we're working on.
Awesome.
Or join the Discord server and join the conversation.
Yes, that too.
We'll post a link in the description to do that.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of the White Rabbit Podcast, and hear you guys next time.